This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
Well, Tom Tyler and I are back here again talking about the biblical convictions of Gilbert Bible Church, and we are on number two, conviction two, the mission of the gospel. We know from Matthew 28 that God desires his gospel to go to the ends of the earth, that his gospel work would be known among the nations. And his intention for that is to come through his people, that the church would be extended even to the ends of the earth. The mission of the gospel should be the mission of the church. What God desires to see done should be what the church desires to see done. And so, Tom, I'd love to hear from you. Our biblical convictions at this point have come from Gilbert Bible Church, from Grace Bible Church. We brought them with us when we planted Gilbert Bible Church. I'd love to have you explain how this particular conviction came about.
Right, yeah. This conviction, the mission of the gospel, truly was born out of necessity. As elders in a church with a lot of ASU students, we would, a couple of times a year, have students come to us. They were involved in various ministries at ASU, and they were doing missions projects, and they were going to the beach in California for spring break, or to Daytona Beach in Florida for spring break. And they would come, and they would want the church to support them in their ministry, their mm-hmm. mission ministry. And we loved the people that were coming to us. We love the body, but we realized that the missions that they wanted to do truly needed to be refined. And so it gave birth to the church. And I know we held this very humbly. We're not saying this is the only way to do missions.
Yep.
This is the way this particular church sees missions, as we look at the resources God has blessed us with, the people that we have that desire to do missions and what they think missions are. And that is what brought the birth of the mission of the gospel for the church, is just how do we help those coming to us know if what they want to do fits the grid of the church?
Yeah. I think that distinction is really important for clarity. There are lots of freedoms of what individual Christians can do out of love for mankind, love for others, love for God, desire to be a positive contribution to a specific culture or area. What the church is mandated to do should be the focus of what the elders choose to do with the money entrusted to their care and the resources, whether it's time or energy, training, all of those things. We want to put our first and our best attention towards what God has clearly revealed the church should be about. And so, like you said, this isn't an indictment on individual Christians or even churches that desire to do things maybe that fit out of the realm of these core components. But for Gilbert Bible Church, when we think about stewarding the resources the Lord has given us, and not only what we should do reactively, but what we should be out about proactively as a church, as we disciple,
absolutely,
as we equip, as we teach and care and shepherd for our people, these are the key components that we think are really non-negotiable when thinking about God's mission of bringing his gospel message to the ends of the earth and how we participate in that.
Absolutely.
And the reality is that this isn't a burden or just another task. This should be the passion of the heart of the members of the church. This isn't something that we should just have a committee of a group who's particularly passionate about this. We as a church must be passionate about seeing this done.
Absolutely.
Whether we're goers or senders. Oh, I'm sorry, Tom.
No, if we're not passionate about the mission of the church, we will hand this over to other people outside of the church.
That's right, yep.
God couldn't make it any clearer. The book of Acts is clear. We start right here in our hometown. They were in Jerusalem hearing this message in Acts 1:8. Mm-hmm. You start right here, right where you're at.
Yep.
All the way to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And the church needs to recognize this is God's playbook.
Yeah.
Yep. This is how the church does this.
That's right. Well, good. Okay, so with that as kind of the foundation, let's talk about what these pillars are or these guidelines or these priorities that the church must be about. When thinking about missions must flow from, first of all, a biblical vision of God and then must be pursued according to God's priorities, gospel priorities that we see in the New Testament. So when considering those things, we as a church have taken aim then at four interdependent guidelines or pillars or priorities regarding how we engage in missions. And we've summarized it this way. We long to work tirelessly to see the glory of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ manifested in the church around the world. That's a summary statement, and that encapsulates four priorities that missions should be doxological about the glory of God. And we'll talk about each one of these individually in just a moment. But for the big picture, missions must be doxological. It's about the glory of God. Must be Christological. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel. Must be ecclesiological. That just means missions is about the church. We don't want to simply, as if it's simple, but we don't want to only give people the gospel, communicating what God saved them from without including the crucial component of the gospel of what God has saved them to, which is a community of believers in the body of Christ. And then ecclesiological. That's the third one. Ecclesiological. And then global, that missions is to the end of the earth. It needs to go beyond Gilbert Bible Church, beyond Gilbert, and really to the ends of the earth. So let's take each of these kind of one by one and talk about what they look like and mean practically. So Tyler, first, do you want to talk a little bit about what it means for missions to be doxological?
Yeah. So I think first, everything that we do as believers is supposed to be doxological.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Favorite verse of ours, 1 Corinthians 10:31.
That's right. Let
all that you do be done to the glory of God. Missions is actually talked about as being doxological all over our New Testament. I think of Romans 11, the end of Romans 11, after Paul has talked about the gospel in its specifics all through the book of Romans. In chapter 10, he turns and talks about actually how some of this is going to be accomplished with his people, the Jews. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a roadmap for how you should pursue doing missions in chapter 10. And then chapter 11 is this just bursting forth in praise to God. We see a similar bursting forth in praise to the Lord in Revelation 5. Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain and purchased for God with your blood. People from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. That is a song about Christ's worthiness because he has purchased people from everywhere. Mm. That is God's glory is the end of the gospel mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, which really lays the foundation for the heart of what we're about in missions. We're not seeking to just do social good,
right?
For the sake of bettering someone's quality of life. Not that that would be a wrong thing to do in and of itself, but we want the root cause of what we're doing not to be a temporary bettering of someone's comfort in life, but we want it to be ultimately about God's glory. And so whatever we're thinking about in regards to missions as a church, the aim is to glorify, magnify God in and through it.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about it being Christological. Tom, you wanna discuss that a little bit?
Yeah, it's about Christ. It is all about the gospel. It's about the good news. It is taking the good news that a man or a woman could be reconciled to a good God. And so why we do this is to bring the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So again, if somebody comes and says, we want to go build houses in Mexico, that was a common missions trip that I would be invited to when I was in high school. We're going to go to Mexico and build houses. How would we think about that request? Will the church support me?
Yeah. Well, we would have to look at the resources that we have and how it fits this grid. And if that was the sole end, is to go build a house, it would be something that we would probably say, this is something we just can't do right now.
Yeah. And
but we would encourage somebody to go do it if right. that's on their heart to go do it.
And that's the distinguishing point. It's not unbiblical or sinful to go do that. That could be a really commendable task for them to do. And there might be a way to go build houses and be able to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And tell people about Jesus. But when we're thinking about what we want to aim at, and obviously there's more components that we're still going to talk about than just this one. But when we're talking about what we're aiming at as a church and how we are seeking to raise up future missionaries and what ministries we want to be involved with as a church for the long haul, the gospel has to be present.
Right.
The gospel Absolutely. Has to be the focus, because ultimately, more than we want people to have their heads covered, we want people to have their sins covered. Right. And the only way that happens, as we know from Acts 4:12, is in Christ, through the name of Jesus Christ. That is the only way that someone can experience forgiveness of sins and be reconciled to God, is through Jesus. So the gospel has to be part of whatever missions we're going to aim at as a church. Again, would it be wrong for somebody to go participate in
Not
something like that? Not at all. Absolutely have the freedom to do that. So, Tyler, were you going to say something to that? You looked like you had something.
I was just looking at Romans 10 along with that. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know Jesus,
yep.
as Romans 10 goes on to say. And the way that that happens is by somebody speaking.
Yep.
Yeah, Romans 10, absolutely.
So from my experience, talking through missions with someone and getting agreement or clarity on the importance of missions being about the glory of God is not typically difficult. Getting someone to agree with missions being about the gospel is not typically difficult. This next one is probably the one that catches people most off guard in thinking through, well, what does that mean and how does that look practically? And that is, thirdly, that we believe missions must be ecclesiological, that missions should be about the church. And one effect the gospel has on people is the assembling of redeemed sinners into a community of Christians who have been saved by the gospel. God saves us from our sins, reconciles us to himself. But as we know from Ephesians 2, he also reconciles us one with another. And his intention is not that there's lone range Christians, right, but that there is to be a community of believers with structure and order, where the gospel or the word of God is taught and preached, where there are elders raised up that oversee and shepherd, where giftedness is used for the benefit of one another in the body of Christ. Even just the one another commands, you have to be connected to other believers in order to practice these things. And so when thinking about what we apply ourselves to as a church in regards to missions, there must be an aim at not only gospel proclamation, but those that may come to Christ being able to have a fellowship where they can interact in that interdependent relationship that God has designed to take place within the church. And so when we think through missions, the church must be a part of it, we believe, from God's perspective. When you look at Paul and Barnabas and the early missionary journeys that they went on and so on, the establishment of churches was the aim.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right. Sometimes it catches people off guard. They're surprised. But think about it this way. Think about your own life. What would the benefit be if you heard the gospel, responded to the gospel, and never had a church? How does that work?
Yeah.
And so in the same way that you and I need the church, those we are taking the gospel to need the church.
Yeah.
And I just, in God's wisdom, in Ephesians 3, the mystery is the church.
Mm.
And so to shortchange and think that it's enough to go even helping somebody with physical needs, and they're important, and sometimes part of taking the gospel is helping with physical needs, but not to give them what God has given us, the church,
yeah,
is short-sighted.
Yeah,
and it misses what Jesus tells his disciples to go do in Matthew 28.
Mm-hmm.
The go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. The make disciples is the primary command. How are they doing it? Going, baptizing
and
teaching.
And teaching,
yeah.
But it's like that happens in the church. That's the disciples going and discipling.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, as you mentioned Ephesians 3, I love how Paul describes what the church is. He talks about it being God's manifold wisdom being made known through the church to the heavenlies. What God does in bringing sinners together into one new man, one body, as Peter talks about a temple, there's the metaphors that Scripture uses are so intimate and connected in what the body of Christ is, actually puts on display God's manifold wisdom, not only among the earth, but into the heavenlies as well. And so I love what you just said, Tom, about just imagining if the Lord, if you heard the message of the gospel, repented and believed, but then didn't have a community to connect with. But the reality is a focus on missions, on God's mission of the gospel that prioritizes and labors to establish churches where the gospel is proclaimed is a lot harder, slower, and more tedious work than simply going into an area for a week, a month, preaching the gospel, seeing who responds, being excited that some responded, and then leaving.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder work.
Well, you know, so often throughout the New Testament, being referred to as a body, we have different gifts. And just thinking of our missionaries that are in P&G right now, we have translators, we have logistics, we have just different people with different gifts. We didn't send a whole bunch of hands. We want to send the entire body, which builds up the church.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And we want to see our church established and matured, and then we want to see that same priority reproduced.
Absolutely.
Time and time again, concentric circles from Gilbert to the Phoenix Valley and beyond, even to the ends of the earth until Jesus returns and reigns. And that is what our fourth point is, that we want to see missions as global. It's not just about us here, which really means it's the task of the whole church to either be a goer or be a sender. And we all need to be involved in this. And we saw that even in Grace Bible Church's willingness to send us out nearly 4 years ago.
That's right.
To Gilbert from Tempe, and another local assembly of believers established in a community ministering the gospel. And we need to be about this still. We need to have this on our hearts and minds. And so for those of you that are part of Gilbert Bible Church or even beyond, whatever local church you're a part of, pray often, Lord, how might you be pleased to use me in participation of your gospel mission of seeing God glorified through the gospel preached so that churches may be established to the ends of the earth. And then talk to your pastors about it. If God's placed on your heart a desire to be equipped for global missions ministry, talk about what that might look like. And I'll just say this, the best way to prepare for global missions ministry is to be faithful in your local church. Serve, learn, be humble, be faithful, and then see what God does as you do those things. Any final words, men?
I think it goes back to where we started. This is all for God's glory.
Amen. Absolutely. May he be glorified through our efforts. Thank you, men.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.